From the sidelines at Reser Stadium to the student section in Gill Coliseum and all the way to Omaha. This is your podcast home for all things orange and black. This is Beaver Smack with former Oregon State Beaver Marcus Greaves.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beaver Smack podcast with your host, Marcus Greaves. Hopefully you guys are staying safe and staying healthy, of course. Obviously, as we all know, some huge news for the Beavs. They took down the Ducks in the Not Civil War. I call it the Platypus Bowl. I've cracked this joke like four or five times, so I hope someone is eventually laughing at it. But like I said, Beavs take down the Ducks 41-38. What a game that was. Obviously, it was highlighted by the best running back in the entire college football league, and that is Mr. Jamar Jefferson. This guy, guys, let me tell you, this guy is something else. I had the hot take of saying he might be the third best running back in Oregon State history. Ken Simonton, Steven Jackson, and then Jamar Jefferson. We're going to talk about that because I do have a special guest on the show today. That is going to be Mr. Jaquizz Rodgers. He's going to hop on and break down what makes Jamar Jefferson so good and where we put him on the Mount Rushmore of Oregon State running backs. I'm so excited for it. It was a great time talking to Jaquizz. My man is about as humble as it gets. Quiz, I know you're listening to this right now. So however you got all those shoes, please send them my way because I absolutely love them. But on top of that, let's just break down some stats real quick before we get into what the show is going to be today. Tristan Jebbia, 23-37, 263 yards and a touchdown. A signature win for this guy, not just for Coach Smith, not just the Beaver program, but Tristan Jebbia, a guy who's got a lot of criticism from me, a lot of criticism from everybody. Obviously, he didn't let any of the outside noise bug him even a little bit because the man played a great game. I said he had to basically have a perfect game in order for the Beavs to get the win. No turnovers, great decision-making. And then, as we know, he did get hurt, but he put his body on the line for the Beavs and really helped backpack that win for Oregon State. More importantly, I thought the fourth quarter he played great. Beavs rallied off 22 points in the fourth quarter compared to the Ducks' 7. That is huge. That's clutch time coming up big. Jamar Jefferson, obviously, as we know, best running back in college football. He finished the game with 29 carries, 226 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That 226 yards is a rivalry game record for either side. And you think about some of the great running backs that have come through both schools, Ducks and Beavers, that's extremely impressive. Solidified himself in the record book for Oregon State and solidified himself as one of the best Beavers, in my opinion, of all time. And then Colby Taylor on the receiving end, we've always been saying a receiver needs to step up, have a big game. And we haven't seen it yet this season, but he had a huge game, 7 receptions, 114 yards, and he had a couple big catches late in the fourth quarter. I want to give a shout out to the defense as well, because the defense, they did a great job of basically stopping the Ducks from finding any sort of rhythm in the second half. I mean, the Ducks only scored 14 points in the second half, and they scored 24 in the first half. So great halftime adjustments. I know that was something that everyone's been saying. Can Oregon State make halftime adjustments? What is this going to be? You know, is Coach Tibbizar the right guy? Is the defense even that good? Where's all the playmakers? Where's everything? All this, all that. I was one of those guys that said that, but they forced 3 turnovers, one of them in which, obviously, as we know, sealed the deal for the game. We had Jaden Grant get a great interception in the fog that barely any of us could even see. I remember watching the broadcast, and they said, oh, Jaden Grant picked that off. And I was like, oh, he did? I thought that was just an incomplete pass. But huge turnover there. Then Nashawn Wright, of course, big-time corner. He played so well in that game, and he was a guy who I also, you know, criticized for a little bit, saying, man, you know, last season he had some absolutely phenomenal performances. I was waiting to see that phenomenal performance again, and he did it on the biggest stage against the biggest team in the biggest game. Hats off to him. I love when these guys shut me up. It makes my job a lot better. Oregon State absolutely owned the Ducks in total yards. They had 532 total yards of offense. How freakish is that? On top of that, the time of possession, Oregon State dominated that 34 compared to the Ducks, just 25. An overall great game, but an overall great show that we have for you guys today. So we are going to hear from Carter Bain, staff writer for Beaver Blitz. We're going to talk about the game and everything like that. Break down what happened. He was actually physically at the game, so hearing what he has to say is going to be a great time. I unfortunately was in the studio, but we did send our own AJ McCord. She has some great stories. You can always find her stuff at AJ_McCord on Twitter. But Then, like I said, we have the legend, Mr. Jaquizz Rodgers, hopping on. He's going to talk about not only the game, but talk about Jamar Jefferson, more importantly, what it's like as a running back and a former running back. Both of us kind of give our perspective of what makes him so great. Why is he so elite? I'm so excited for this episode. This is great. I can't wait for it. As always, thank you guys for listening to the Beaver Smack podcast. Wouldn't be in this position without you guys. I always have to say Beaver Nation gave me a chance to get my broadcasting career started. So I can't thank you guys enough. Please like, share, subscribe, everything like that. But now let's switch on over to Mr. Carter Baines, and we'll switch on over to Mr. Jaquizz Rodgers. All right, everybody. Our first guest on the Beaver Smack podcast, my man, Mr. Carter Baines. He is a staff writer for Beaver Blitz. Carter, my man, first of all, let's start off with this. What a game it was this last week on Friday, man. You were there. You got to experience it. I unfortunately had to stay in the studio. We instead sent AJ McCord, our sports reporter. She was down there covering the game. But, man, from what she was telling me, from what I was watching on TV, and then just the reactions from social media, that game not only stressed out a lot of people, but, man, that's probably one of the best games to ever go to. Was that, I mean, well, how was it, man? Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's actually exactly what I was going to say. I mean, even from obviously a neutral perspective, that's one of the best football games I have ever watched, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to see the back and forth on both sides, you know, Oregon starting out strong and then Oregon State comes back two plays later, 82-yard touchdown. You just kind of had the feeling that it was going to be an absolute fight the whole way. And that's exactly what it was. Came down to the wire. You know, Oregon had that big lead and the Beavers just never gave up. And that's something that we've seen from this team all year. And so really just a fun game to watch from really regardless of which team you're rooting for.
Right. And if there was one thing I could probably say when watching that game was, like you said, the back and forth, but just like the competitiveness and just there was smack talking. There was a guy shoving each other after the play. I mean, Nashawn Wright is a perfect example. My goodness, man. I've been telling people for a long time, I love the way that kid plays. I love the way he carries himself. Defensive back is one of the hardest positions. He had some games this season where he struggled, but I thought that game was by far his best game he's played all season. And, man, just in general, to watch that game from start to finish, I mean, Carter, my man, that had to be stressful. I mean, were you at the edge of your seat the whole time?
Yeah, I was completely. You know, it was like – it's one of those games where you can't take your eye off the field for 1 second because you feel like you're going to miss something. Mm-hmm. Big plays offensively. And then, you know, how about some big hits on defense too? You mentioned Nashawn Wright, but staying in that Beaver secondary, how about Kaiten Oladapo and Jaden Grant both had big hits on Oregon running backs. So that was good to see from those guys too. And you mentioned it, just the heart that they showed, you know, that was a competitive game on both sides. And I think it just goes to show how much this game means to everybody out there, especially those in-state guys. We heard from Jaden Grant in particular, you know, he said these are kind of the moments you dream of as a kid in the state. And I think that was pretty apparent.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it definitely was. And even me being a kid from Oregon and experiencing that Civil War win, I mean, I told everybody here at the station and on our sports show Game On that those are moments that last forever, you know, and being able to experience a Civil War win is one of the best things, you know, one of the best moments I've ever experienced. And so just to see how all that played out, like I said, I was so happy for those guys, man. So they got to experience that. It was a great game. They fought back. And man, the one thing that I think I could highlight here is how well coached the Beavers were as well, because we all know the athletes that Oregon has, the athletes that Oregon gets. Oregon State has just, you know, they have athletes, they have great athletes as well. But I think the difference in that one was the coaching, to see what the Beavers did, not just in the first half, but the second half adjustments was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I got to tip my hat to Coach Smith and the staff. But, you know, Carter, if there's anything you saw from the first half to second half in regards to coaching, maybe give us what you saw from that.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I mentioned it earlier just a minute ago that those halftime adjustments on defense have been the key for Oregon State all year. And I know they've gotten down early in all of the games they've played, really, save for the Cal game. But Coach Tibisar on the defensive side at halftime has done an incredible job of, you know, adjusting his game plan. And even before this week, I mean, the teams at Oregon State had played leading into this week had, you know, they were all with new offensive coordinators. They had new schemes. They had, you know, played limited games, if any. And I think that speaks a whole lot to that defensive staff and the whole coaching staff in general, of course, as well, because these adjustments go, you know, in all three phases. But it really stands out to me on the defensive side, just what they've been able to do mid-game. You know, that's a sign of a coaching staff with the ability to win big time games. And that's exactly what they did this week.
Mm-hmm. And that was a signature win, not just for Coach Smith, not just for Oregon State. But I said, this is that was a signature win for Tristan Jebbia, because I think a lot of the people have been criticizing him, me being one of them. I won't lie to you guys. I was one who was, you know, I critiqued his game and I was like, listen, you know, is he Oregon State's guy? You know, he has spurts second half. I think second half of football games, he plays pretty dang great. But first half of games, he struggles. He takes a little bit of time to settle in. But, man, I had to go out on a game on and apologize to him because he made me look like a fool. And that's kind of the stuff you live for, though, when you're an analyst. You know, you live and die by these takes. But it was good to see him finally settle in and get that signature win for Oregon State. That is huge, huge, big-time win for him. But, Carter, obviously the most important news now, post-game, you know, post-rivalry game, excuse me, was just the injury to Tristan Jebbia. I thought that was something that we have to take, in consideration. We got to think about that. We got to see it. We got to see what the Beavers are going to do. I mean, what's the latest update you have on Tristan? Because post-game, after that rivalry game, he was on crutches, and he looked like he was in a lot of pain. Do you have any update for us?
Right, yeah. I mean, when I watched it live, I thought, oh, no, this does not look good. You know, my first thought was that looks like a long-term injury right there. Mm-hmm. And post-game, Jonathan Smith actually said that he was actually, you know, pretty confident in Tristan's ability to bounce back and be able to go this week. But then on Monday, he kind of reversed course and said, you know, after doing some tests and everything, the injury turned out to be a bit more serious than they had anticipated. And so... Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know the exact nature. I know they're going to continue to run some tests and throw him out there on the field and see how much he's able to move around. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't sound too optimistic this week. So I would not be surprised to see Chance Nolan this week. And to be honest with you, I mean, Coach Smith is pretty optimistic about all injuries in general. And after seeing Tristan, you know, hobble off the field like that and watching him on crutches, I personally would be surprised if we saw him again this season, but I mean, I'm hoping I'm wrong and he can bounce back, but it looked pretty serious.
Yeah, it did. I mean, the hobbling and just the way he basically had to try and recover from that. I mean, man, you saw him post game and he was, you know, like I said, he was on the crutches. He was looking like he was in a lot of pain. But Carter, before we actually move on and talk more about this, I have to know, because you said it, how the hell did he not get in the end zone those two times? Because from the TV angle, man, he looked like he was in without a doubt. I mean, the second time he looked like he was in without a doubt. I mean, how many times? Oh, shoot. And then the third time was when one of the defensive linemen jumped off sides and they didn't call it. I mean, I have to know your reaction. Were you losing it up there? Were you like, what the hell is going on?
It was another tough week for the Pac-12 officials. I'll put it that way. In real time, I thought that the first one was a touchdown when his entire upper half was in the end zone. And then on that blown, the missed offsides call, you know, it was a tough game for the officials once again. And it really is a good thing it didn't cost Oregon State, because that was a deciding factor, or at least one of them, in the Washington game. And so it would have been heartbreaking to see them lose another game with one of those calls or no calls having such a big impact.
Right. And that's going to be something that's going to be interesting moving forward. I know that the Pac-12 has kind of been they've been catching a lot of heat, man, around the country, just in general with the way that the officiating has been carrying itself, you know, how everyone, I guess, around the Pac-12 has been carrying themselves in regards to the leadership roles. That's going to be interesting to see. But Carter, I want to talk about this before we get you out of here. I mean, Jamar Jefferson is now finally in the spotlight. I mean, he's been all over, as we know. I mean, people now see what it's like to play for Oregon State and Coach Smith. From a Beaver Blitz, you know, recruiting staff writer perspective, I know you and Angie talk probably a lot about this on the Damn podcast, but what do you think that does for recruiting for Oregon State when they see guys like Jamar Jefferson, who might have been, you know, he was a high-profile kid, but not you know, in the spotlight like a lot of these other guys? I mean, do you think that's going to maybe shift some momentum towards the Beavers in recruiting?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a huge selling point. And I don't know if one game necessarily shifts the momentum, or if, you know, I think it's going to take, it's still going to take time to build up enough momentum in the recruiting realm for Coach Smith, but this certainly helps. And, you know, it's something that, that the staff can point to and say, hey, you know, we did this, and you come play for us and we can win even more games like this. And I think it's a testament to the culture as well. You know, the bend but don't break, the we're not going to give up, the you know, we can compete with anybody. That's something that recruits are going to love, and they can really sell that. And you know, I think in addition, they're also selling it to the fan base, you know, with we've seen the social media reaction over the last couple of days, and I think Oregon State fans are energized, and if the fans are that energized, you know, that's going to carry over into recruiting.
Right, absolutely, and they should be hyped because that was such a huge win. What a great game for the Beavers. I mean, listen, man, it almost, I hate that I think like this as a former player and a former Oregon State player, but sometimes when you beat the Ducks, the season is already a success. That's just how it goes when you play against your rival. You know what I'm saying? But this is what I'm saying, is that Coach Smith now has to get this team, this program, out of the mindset of, if you beat the Ducks, you have a successful season. Because my last season, when I got to play before I had to retire from injury, you know, I tore my second ACL, but we beat the Ducks. And, you know, we finished the season 4-6, which is not a great record by any means. But we thought the season was a success. So I think in order for Oregon State to take that next step, you know, and jump ship even farther, right, move up and up and up and keep the trend going upwards in regards to building up the program and keeping it at an elite level like it has been in the past, I think these are the things that they're going to have to consistently do, not just beat a rival, but get great wins against really solid elite teams like the Ducks, like the Huskies, and find ways to continue to move forward. But Carter, my man, that is actually all we have for you. We appreciate you so much for hopping on. His name is Carter Baines. He's a staff writer for Beaver Blitz. You can always go find all of his stuff at beaverblitz.com. And again, they do have a podcast, Angie and Carter. It is called The Damn Podcast. Go check that out. Yes, that is one of my favorite podcasts to listen to this day. You know, I might steal a couple things from you guys and hop it on over and put it on my show, but hey, it is what it is. Hey, Carter, man, thank you so much for hopping on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Marcus.
All right, y'all. I got the Oregon State legend, Mr. Jaquizz Rodgers, hopping on. We're going to talk a little bit about a kid who's been just not just lighting the league on fire, but I'm talking about lighting the entire college football on fire, and that's Mr. Jamar Jefferson, Oregon State running back right now. Jaquizz, man, first of all, we appreciate you hopping on. Man, we want to get your thoughts. You're an Oregon State legend, man, and kids like me growing up, we always remember seeing you basically being the face of Oregon State football. And right now, Jamar is the face of Oregon State football. What is it about his game that makes him so good?
Man, it's crazy because I feel like he falls right in line with Ken, Steven, Ev, and me. It's just a guy that's humble. When you meet him, he's humble, quiet guy, but he's a beast on the field. And if you meet all those guys I just named, they're the same type of person. So I feel like he falls right in line of an Oregon State running back, a guy who go out there and produce and know put his skills on display.
Mm-hmm. And the big thing about him right now is a lot of people had some criticism about his breakaway speed. And something I always said what was insane and crazy when you watch his game is his vision. You know, just like in that, not the Civil War, in the rivalry game, I should say, he had that breakaway run. And the biggest thing for me was, when you watched him play and you watched that play, he waited for the blocks to develop, right? And then he found that crease and exploded through it. There's something about his game that, you know, it's just crazy. If there's one thing that you could probably take away from his on-the-field game, what do you think it would be? That is what he makes him so good.
Man, I have to say them damn long-ass runs. Hey, he got a knack to make those long runs. Going back, like Ev was before me, he's one guy that got that long, I say long speed. Might not seem as fast as everybody, but somehow, some way, he makes those long touchdowns, and he's proving it week to week now.
Mm-hmm. And so you had a tweet the other day when the Beavers beat the Ducks, and that was that there was some room on the Mount Rushmore of Oregon State running backs for Jamar Jefferson. I don't want to put you on the spot, my man, but I have to do it. If you got to rank him, we'll say with you, Steven Jackson, Ev, Ken Simonton, and Jamar, man, I know I got to do it, but, man, give me the order if you can. I mean, do you think he is in that top three? Do you think he cracked the top three? Or does he still have something to prove, man?
That'll be hard to crack the top three, but I'm going to say this. I would have loved to see him have a full 3 years of playing. I know he got hurt his second year, and they only got six games this year. I just say this. I would love to see if he would have had three, 4 seasons, I would have loved to see where he would have fell.
Yeah.
Those rankings. I can't judge him because all is going on. But I just say it would be hard to crack the top three. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I say.
But you're in the top three, right?
Man, look, listen. I give credit to those guys who paved the way for me, man. Ken, Steven, I played with him, and Ev, who gave me the blueprint on how to run the zone scheme. Mm-hmm. I remember I was struggling with it. I called Ev up, and he gave me some knowledge. He said, hey, man, the main thing is stay patient, hit the back hole. So me, I'm not going to rank myself over those guys, period. That's just out of respect of the guys who paved the way for me. So I'm going to put it like that.
Yeah, dang, man, okay. Man, we us media people always trying to trap you, man, trying to get you to say something. Yeah. Hey, before we get you out of here, my man, I mean, if there's any words of encouragement, or I should say any advice that you can give Jamar right now, you see the position he's in. Now he's in the spotlight right now. That's kind of something that you experienced, right, where they put you on the national stage and you had a big game and people are like, oh, man, so this is Jaquizz Rodgers. And, you know, you've been playing like that your whole life. If there's any words that you can give to Jamar right now that can maybe pave the way, like you said, for him to take that next step and either finish out his college career, you know, on a high note or even in the NFL, what would it be?
Man, the old cliche word of stay hungry, no confident, and humble in everything you do. And just by knowing him, I know he's going to do that. His running back coach, you know, make sure he's on the right path and all and things like that. So I know those things he's going to stay on path with those things. And for him, I just say, for him, be more vocal, man. Hey, the offense goes through you, man. Hey, the man that owned it, hey, how he plays is going to determine a win or loss for our team. And that's just facts. So demand the ball. Hey, keep running the ball like you do. Encourage the guys up front. Hey, defense, keep making plays in critical times. Hey, man, we can shock the world, man, because, hey, nobody believe in it. That's the best thing when nobody see you coming, man. Hey.
Absolutely. He said it, too. He said that he's been an underdog his whole life. I know his recruiting story is a little interesting that he chose Oregon State, and a lot of people looked at it like, man, you chose Oregon State. You had an offer from USC. But, hey, man, that's just who he is, right? He's a humble guy. He just wants to get to work. Doesn't want the spotlight. And you can tell, like you said, the humble guy talking into that. But – Jaquizz, my man, that's actually all we have for you, bro. I appreciate you so much for hopping on and talking with us. Obviously, you guys know him. His name is Jaquizz Rodgers, Oregon State legend. Jaquizz, thank you so much for hopping on, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, y'all, having me on. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Beaver Smack Podcast. Please stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bring it back to the essence, heed the lessons. No need to mention that we're all in. Caution at the roads that we cross in. Hop, skip, and a jump over lumps on a log. Keep it moving, we getting over as the underdog. Looking for a way out.